Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So, we're running a little bit on the late side, but I'm going to try and just tuck everything in because there's so much that still lies ahead, and then there's the gift, and I'll explain all that to you in a moment. But let's start by asking a question. Who is a tree lover here tonight? You love trees. I love trees, don't you? The beauty of a tree, the height of a tree, the fruitfulness of a tree. And the Bible even calls us oaks of righteousness. Now, in South Africa, we are also oaks of righteousness, because that's a very old Afrikaans expression that you are the oaks, you know, the blokes of righteousness. But are you a tree hugger? Anyone loves to hug a tree? I'm not slamming tree huggers. Don't be afraid. And this is not a New Age message tonight. You hug a tree. So, or you may have met people who are tree huggers, and you know there are many reasons for why people hug trees. So children, for instance, have a natural instinct to go to a tree and place their arms around it, because for many children, it's the constant thing in their world, in a world where people are coming and going and uncles are in and out, parents are divorcing. So for children, they run to a tree, and they can even build a house in the tree or get an adult to build a house for them within the tree. And history shows us that there are different reasons for why, and I'm going somewhere with this, why people hug trees. And one of them, the main one was, you know, when people started chopping down forests, and we know that the trees give us oxygen and people wanted to preserve, and sometimes people can go overboard with that, but many years ago, decades ago, people just wanted to protect the trees because they wanted to protect the forest. But then there are people who believe there's power in the tree and there's wisdom in the tree, and they would rather talk to a tree than they would talk to a person, and that they discovered for themselves that trees are the best listeners that there are, because a tree doesn't speak back and doesn't give you any lip or back chat. Well, where am I going with this? You know, there was a man in the Word of God, in the Bible, who saw people as trees. And my whole aim this evening is for us to not see people around us as objects, but to see them for who they are. Let's read in Mark 8:22. It says, when they, speaking of Jesus and his disciples, arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around. Yes, he said, I can see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Well, the song told you what the message title is tonight, and it is, I Can See Clearly Now. I can see clearly now. You know, as I was preparing this message, I had a few memories of things from my childhood, and, you know, and not too long ago, in 2011, a few of us on staff went to China. It wasn't a mission trip. I wish I could tell you. I'm getting used to this walk thing here. It wasn't a mission trip. I wish it was, although I had a moment in the train with someone who wore a top that said, you know, the acronym, or just the first letters of sentences, what would Jesus do? And I got all excited, and I went up to him, and I was like, are you a believer? Are you, you know, and I had an interpreter, so that was my missions moment, and it turns out that this man wasn't a believer, and that it was quite dangerous what I did, because, you know, it wasn't a place where you speak openly about the gospel, and my interpreter said, no, he bought this at a sale somewhere, like in the street, on the side of the street. So clearly it was a what would Jesus do top that was made for a church or a company that was rejected, and they were selling it, and I had my moment where I thought I'm going to lead this guy to the Lord or just connect with him as a brother in Christ. Well, he was quite a fair-skinned Chinese person, and he started blushing. He went bright red, and he jumped off the train at the very next station. Well, we went to Shanghai, and you know, there are 24 million people in that city alone. And the whole continent of China, there are 1.5 billion people. Can you believe it? And, you know, in that place, you felt a little bit like a tree, like an object, because people were just like, it's like the rat race. It's just people everywhere. And, you know, each man for himself, or I will miss my train. And I remember Bridget Harris was then on staff with us. Bridget, I think I see you somewhere. And that smile on her face, if you can see it, is because someone in our group grabbed her just in time before the train took off, and she was inside with the rest of us. What my point was is that you felt a little bit like unconnected, and you didn't feel like valued. You just felt like in the way. And, you know, my aim tonight is to make sure that you understand that you are not that. You are not in the way, and that people around you should not feel that they are in the way. I came across a story recently where a UK man wanted to commit suicide, and he went onto a bridge. I actually posted it about it, and passers-by saw him, and they held onto him for 2 hours until the police and the firemen came and helped him. And you know what that picture tells me is, this is how the church should look. This is how we should behave. This is what we should look like. And we should give up our time and put effort into say, that's not an object. That's a human being made in the image of God. That's not a tree that's in the way there. That's someone that needs to live. They need to live, and they need to reach their full potential. They need to come to know Jesus. They need to put their hope and their faith and their trust in the Lord. Amen? So my first point tonight is, how do we see people? How do we see people? When I was a little girl, I lived on Signal Hill in a naval base. My father was a naval officer. He recruited young guys to join the Navy. And we had a bit of a semi-private road that we used to walk on. And as a little girl, I remember walking with my mom, and there were these convicts from Roland Street. In fact, I didn't remember this until Andre helped me remember. Those were the Roland Street prisoners in their orange uniforms, and they had picks, and they were working with their legs in chains, and they were working on the side of the road, and they were picking and repairing the road. And I remember my mom saying to me, don't look at them, you know. And she wasn't being horrible. She was actually being kind. She was saying, don't stare at people. You make them feel bad. You're embarrassing them. And I think because of that culture, I don't know if that's what parents do today. I think I taught my children to not stare at people either, not for too long and not with your mouth open. But I think what happened to me is I felt a little robbed as a result, because I equated looking at people as being rude and out of place, until you get to the teenage years and then you outstare one another, and the one will say, what are you looking at? And the other one will say, well, what do you think I'm looking at? But you know what? It really just stuck with me that we need to have the ability to see people clearly for who they are, that people have value. And then another story, my son Adrian, who's the campus pastor in Belita, he's next door with the men tonight. That's why all the cars, that's why we're having mayhem here tonight. Because we decided to have women and men's on the same night. But Adrian was in the car with me, and we stopped just up the road at a traffic light. And you know, there was beggars and people, and this is like many, many years ago. That was happening then already. And I ignored this person. And my son said to me, Mom, if you have nothing to give him, at least smile at him. My son ministering to me. smile at him, look at him, acknowledge him. And I said, you know, Adrian, you are right. He's not an object on the side of the road. He is a human being. And, you know, it's very important that we see clearly the people around us, that we acknowledge people. And this is where the church comes in. Have you noticed there's like a whole wave of hatred that's being spewed out at the moment all over the show? It's the sign of the end of the times that we're living in. We're living in the end days where people will be lovers only of themselves, right? And so we can't ride that wave, girls. We can't ride that wave. This is where the church comes in. We have got to be a different people. We've got to be the priesthood that God speaks about, the peculiar people. We're different. We cut from a different cloth, amen? We've got our hearts in heaven. Our hearts is in another place, as Matthew Henry says, amen? And we've just got to be the answer, amen? Thank you, Jesus. We've got to be the answer. We've got to be part of the solution, not part of the problem, right? So, you know, this man had partial sight. And it's a lesson for us, this, because we have the same experience. Before we know Jesus, we're completely spiritually blind. And then, you know, who cares what you think or what other people think? But then you have an encounter with Jesus. And we now sing, you know, like Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. But do you know, we don't see clearly right from the word go. We see our Heavenly Father and Jesus clearly, and we understand that we need them. But it's a progression of growth, and we are changed from one degree of glory, amen? And we are becoming, we're not automatically like this. We have to learn in our understanding how to value people. And you know, let's be honest, when we first come to Jesus, some of us are so messed up, so broken from our past, we got to deal with that first before we can even think of other people. Do you understand what I'm saying? And my aim tonight is for us to understand, yes, we all have value, and we will get through those moments that hold us back, and those brokenness, you know, the broken areas of our lives. But really, God wants us to be beyond ourselves and to be on the lookout for the whosoever out there that needs him and that needs us. Because for some people, we're the only Jesus they're ever, ever going to encounter. Amen? We're going to be his mouth. We're going to be his heart. We're going to be his hands. We're going to be his feet. And so, people can be difficult, can they not? Pastor Wilma, are you asking me to love people who are difficult in my world, in my life? People can be difficult. Yes, they can. People can be dangerous. Yes, they can. People can be impossible. Yes, they can. But you know what? When you encounter difficult people, just remember this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Sometimes people are a puppet on a string of the enemy, and that is what we are coming against. We're not necessarily coming against the person. And if we want to see people clearly, we can't think like you've got the devil in you and I don't like you. We've got to be different, I mean, in the way that we encounter people. We've got to love people unconditionally. So let's just look how people and trees can compare. And in your notes, trees can be big and they can be in the way. Trees can be big, they can be large, and they can be in the way. People can be that too. They can be in the way, they can be an obstacle, right? They can have these big needs and big problems that present themselves, and then you say to yourself as a believer, well, does God want me to drop everything and help them? Yes, he does. Amen? Because the people you will encounter are the people God will put in your way. And so we can't see people as a tree. And we can't say you're like this big tree in my way and you're an obstacle. We've got to see people with eternal value and people who can change. That tree will never change, but a person can be transformed. Amen? Trees can be messy because trees shed leaves, and people can be messy. Trees can be damaged, just like people can be damaged, broken, damaged goods, amen? Trees can be old. What do we do with the elderly? Do we discard them? Do we say to ourselves, oh, well, you know what? I just want them to get into some home or institution and someone else can take care of them. That's not fair. That's not fair because the elderly are people who have done the hard yards. They've raised children. They have had heartbreak and heartache. And for many of them who know Jesus, they've been on their knees for hours for the likes of you and I. And now they can't just be this old tree in the way at the bottom of the garden and forgotten. Amen? I just think God is speaking to us. And, you know, we're all growing in this regard. We are. We are a work in progress. So number two, we need to see people as God sees them. See them as God sees them. This is nothing new. This is a reminder for all of us. This is a reminder for me. Because we can so quickly jump into our cars and get on the road and get to work and get into the supermarket and people can be in the way with their trolleys or, you know, I was in Woolies today and there was one cashier on the under 10 items and I just kept my composure because I had an appointment pending and inside of your mind you're saying, one cashier? But I kept calm and the people in front of me were all freaking out. Can you believe that this? And I'm just keeping calm inside, right? What can you do? What can you do? Amen? So I want to say tonight, if you exclusively hug trees, would you consider embracing human beings from now on? And that is why I asked you to embrace one another, because God embraces us. Amen? We are in His embrace. When we are in our low places, when we are struggling, when we are disappointed, that's when God is embracing us. I felt God's embrace tonight as I was freaking out on the inside with the technology. That's so nothing to be freaking out about. There are real issues in life to be freaking out about. God is there to embrace us. Associate with the lowly and the different in society. Many years ago, a friend of mine who's gone to be with the Lord, Anne Fanikirk, prophetic ministry, great friend of the house, she preached once and she spoke about how sooner she would see a whole lot of tots coming into the church than the religious. And I so loved that message. I've never forgotten it. And I'm not suggesting that you're a tart here tonight. I'm just saying, how do we see people? Do we see them through God's eyes? Do we see their potential, their value? I know for the many years, 34 years of being in full-time ministry, I've seen licorice all sorts come through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen the transformation. I've seen my own transformation. I look at photographs of my own life and my own transformation, my husband's transformation. That is the beauty. And you know what? If I was turned away at the church where I gave my heart to Jesus, if I was turned away, who knows? I may not be who I am today. I may not know Jesus. And you know what? Jesus associated with all kinds of people. That is why when Claire shared about the woman with the alabaster jars, she was a sinful woman, but Jesus allowed her to touch him. See the way Jesus sees people. He sees eternal value in them. He sees the image of God in them. Amen? And we have no right to be exclusive in who we associate with. We need to associate with people who we most likely won't always befriend, but associate in your embrace and in the way that you acknowledge people. Look for the gold. Remember that message? Look for the gold. Look for the gold. And then I have a sort of a heading here that reads in your notes, how can I see people more clearly? Like, in other words, I need help. And I promise you, I needed help. I needed help. And the first thought around that is see with the eyes of your heart, not just your physical eyes. See with the eyes of your heart, with the eyes of your understanding. And of this blind man, Charles Spurgeon wrote, and he said, as the eye is the emblem of the understanding, it is usual to heal the human understanding by degrees. And obviously what he was alluding to was this man was healed by degrees. It's the only miracle in the Bible where there were two times. And it's about sight. And it's about how we need to interpret that. I'm not saying I'm 100% correct in my interpretation, but I think I have a revelation and have had for many years about this passage in that, you know, when Jesus healed him, he couldn't see immediately as he should. But you know what could have happened? If he decided at that moment, I'm going to just be happy with seeing people as trees, and I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to just walk out, and I'm going to be happy for the rest of my life. We could do the same. But we've got to allow God to keep on touching, healing, bringing insight. Amen. So, then number two, ask God to help you. We love saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, this is the time where we've got to ask God to help us. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Go to God for everything that you struggle with. Lord, I can't forgive that person. Lord, I can't be around people like this. Lord, it reminds me too much of my past. Lord, why did you bring people like this across my path? Well, help me, Jesus. If that's what you want, I will associate with these people and I will point them to you. Amen. Ask God for help. Then thirdly, make it your pattern to look people of all ages in the eye. Come on. What is it with people? What is it with people to avoid people? We can't do that. If you see someone in the corner of your eye, you know they're there. You need to say, Jesus, you put that person there. I don't know why, but if I can give them eye contact and a smile, I'm making a little dent today. Amen? The church is called upon to make little dents because one day we're all going to be part of this big dent that's going to crack something and the light of Christ is going to come shining through. Amen? So look people in the eye. Number four, when you look at people, say to yourself, Jesus loves them. Oh, man. I wasn't going to share this. I've got time. I was at the hospital, I don't know when it was, last week for my daughter. She had some x-rays done, and anyway, I saw this lady, and this is not a boast. Please don't see this as a boast, okay? I don't know why the Holy Spirit popped that memory in my head right now, but it was a beautiful lady sitting with a very sick child where I was sitting waiting for some results for Simon, and she was nodding off, and then she'd wake up, and the child was lights out, and I felt so sorry for her, and then I went up to, I felt God say, go to her now, and I went up to her, and I said, hi, are you okay? Can I help you with something? And she said, no, I'm just tired, and then I said, okay, can I go buy you some water? It'll wake you up. So she said, oh, that will be nice, thank you. So I went, got some water at the cafe, Sunning Hill Hospital. And then I felt God say, and buy chocolate for the boy. Okay? You know I don't touch chocolates, eh? And, you know, I even forgot about that. But I went there and I just popped it down there. And this woman was like a flower that was put in water. She just blossomed, came to life. Her eyes were wide open. Oh, thank you. And then Simon came out and we had to go. And I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus. Actually, it's a choice all of us have. To make a dent, to make a difference, to acknowledge someone, to be Jesus to them, amen? Can we just be Jesus to people, amen? No matter how irritating they are, amen? Ask God to help us, amen? Right, number five, recognize that we are all a work in progress. I have alluded to it. You know, God is restoring us. Psalm 23, he restores my soul. We are a work in progress. And we mustn't use that as an excuse every time we fail and say, I'm a work in progress. No, you've got to keep growing and you've got to make progress. And there will always be areas in your life where you will fail the test, but you've got to keep going. And you've got to pass some tests and keep going, right? There was a woman, true story, she was at a conference and she had this massive badge on her chest. And I may have shared it with some of you that's been on the journey for a long time. And it said this, BPBWMGINFWMY. And of course, people were practically standing in a queue asking her, what is that? What do you mean by that? And she said, it simply means this. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And then I did some research, and I found that there was this beautiful Gone to Be with the Lord singer who had a song that was the same thing. But the song goes on to say, please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet, because when he is finished with me, I'm going to shine. And some other words. And I just got so excited. And I also want you to know that as much as you may think we're all perfect in the ministry, we're not. We have our days. We have our moments. You need to be encouraged that you can make a difference, but just keep going. Don't quit. Amen? And allow people to be patient with you. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. There's a promise we can stand on. Lord, I'm a work in progress. Lord God, you're going to finish and you're going to complete this work in me. I'm going to shine for you. I'm going to be doing amazing things for you. I'm not going to be perfect, right? And then number 6, remember, we are not perfect. We have our off days. We have hormones, right? But a good reminder is this, and consider this. If you are saying to yourself, I'm a believer, I'm a child of God, there are two big commandments that God actually puts into one commandment that we must keep and we must obey. We must. It's a must. It's imperative. Mark 12:30, it says, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And if you struggle to know what love is, 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not going to read it. It's there in your notes. Number 3, see yourself more clearly. See yourself more clearly. And by that, I mean, don't overestimate yourself, but never underestimate yourself. Remember to love yourself. As I've just read in Mark 12, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Look after yourself. Place value on yourself. Don't go on an ego. Don't worship yourself. But place value on yourself, because God places value on you. Because then if you value yourself, you can more freely value others. When you are whole, you will seek the wholeness of others. When you are free, you will seek the freedom of others, right? For years and years, I've been teaching the girls in this house to see themselves through God's eyes as valuable. Psalm 139, wonderfully and fearfully made in his image. We are all different. And you know, the biggest problem we have as women, we compare ourselves to other people. We visit someone's home and they're amazing cooks, and we want to be that same cook. And then we visit someone else, they've got this amazing house, and we want to decorate our house exactly like their house. Or whatever it is. But actually, can I just remind us that you are the winner in your own lane. When you are running in your own lane with the gifts and the talents that God has given you, you are a winner, because there's no one like you. You're unique. You're special. Some people can stand up here and sing beautifully. Others don't have it, but they've got a head for other things, like they've got a head for figures, or they can create beautiful art, or they design beautiful dresses or jewelry, or they're just good at what they do. They're good at being a waitress in a restaurant, and perhaps they love doing it because they love encountering people every day and just being nice to people. Who knows? But we all have our lane that we must run in, and we really must not compare ourselves with each other. Amen. So I want to just leave it there. But also, I just want to say, I wonder how much potential is in this room tonight. How much untapped talent is in this room. Don't underestimate yourself. Really, you know, find out what your personality type is, get some help in that department. Google something about personality types. I think it's the Briggs one, Myers-Briggs. Apparently it's not Christian, but it's very well researched and it's very, very good. Find out how you're wired and what your leaning is, right? I say this to you girls all the time. We've got about 400, 500, 600 people more here that maybe they need to hear it too. Is to just discover how God created you. And sometimes you have many questions and you discover quite late in life that you're good at this, you're a good painter, you can make dresses, you can knit, you can cook, you can teach. Who knows what you have on the inside of you, and who knows, you know, what talent is represented in this room tonight. See others clearly, see as God sees. See yourself more clearly, and your action this evening is, I will be open to the Holy Spirit to remind me and guide me to see people more clearly, because we are all made in the image of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.